You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. We must always be mindful of God's goodness, especially in the midst of challenges. Learn more in week 2 of Knowing God.
All right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Can you just greet the person seated next to you with a high five? Can you just greet them? And please also tell them, Happy New Year! All right, we're so glad to have you guys with us once again. For those of you who went to your hometowns, you had your vacations, anyone here nagbakasyon mo tong Christmas break, you went away, yun, okay? We're so glad to have you guys back once again here in Dumaguete. How many of you guys miss each other? You miss your friends, mga kakuyog ninyo. We miss you guys and so glad to have you with us once again. And speaking of New Year, since it's January, it's the start of the year as well, I bet for most, if not all of us, we are so filled with big dreams. We have faith goals. In fact, how many of you are excited for their parent fasting next week? If you're excited to believe for big things in 2017, how many of you have big dreams this 2017? You are believing for big things, whether you're a student, or how many here are students, by the way? You're believing for good grades, amazing grades, to pass your midterms exams this January, nangyata ang midterms exam. Okay, or if you're working, you're believing for an increase in salary, promotion, mga working. Can you hear shout from mga those are working? Magdili sure, ganun mga promote. Okay, but as with always with January, since it's the start of the year, usually it's that time of the year that we're so filled with faith, we're so filled with, you know, faith goals and all that. We're looking forward to having great things happen for us in the year. Am I right? Diba? None of us here started 2017 with the thought na, yes, 2017. Maout ako 2017 ako karon. Di ko ganahan na chadang 2017 na ako. None of us ever had that in mind. All of us, you know, when 2017 came, and none of you celebrated with your families, with your loved ones, into New Year. Okay, you had a great celebration, all that. But when 2017 came, I bet now we welcomed it with faith, with hope, thinking of great things to happen. And a big factor of what will strengthen our faith, not just for prayer and fasting next week, but throughout the week, as we believe for big things, is knowing or having a deeper understanding of who God is. And that's why we're having this series, what we have right here, Knowing God. If you're here for the first time, we are currently going through this series called Knowing God. This series is all about knowing some attributes of who God is. It's all about deepening our understanding about God, which will result in deepening our relationship with Him. Because the more we get to understand God, the stronger our relationship and our faith towards Him becomes. If we are here today, church, if you are here today and you're believing big things from God, this 2017, then it is important for us to have a deeper understanding of who He is. Yes, we will never fully understand the entirety of God. No matter how many books, resources we do, so we will never fully understand God. But we can increase in our knowledge of who God is to a certain degree. And the more we do so, it will greatly strengthen our faith towards God. It will greatly strengthen our faith whenever we're believing for things. How many of you here are believing for provision this year? You're believing for payments, a tuition, bills, you know, or something big, a trip, or for the students, Unashamed 2017 for registration fee. Yeah, if you're believing for that, for those of you who are working again, you're believing for increase again, the salary ninyo. Or you're believing for new gadgets, new items. Anyone here, you're believing for those? Or you're believing for travel, okay, vacation, maka go abroad, okay, I don't know, Europe, Africa, okay, Asia, whatever that trip may be. Or what else, okay, good health. None of you here, you have friends na fitness goals, mga body goals. Talaga na, diba? Mag-gym na this year, this is it, this is that year. Healthy, healthy na, healthy living na. Okay, goodbye lechon na daw, okay? Di pa nagbayo. But do you have friends like that? Okay, na, excited na, mag-gym na, healthy lifestyle na, nakabutan na planner. Nakabutan mas planner, okay? Wala pa activate, but whether it's good health and all those things, whatever you're believing for this 2017, a big factor that will motivate you, encourage you, make you hold on to those goals, those faith goals, is knowing who God is. The more we get to know who He is, the stronger our faith is, the better our perspective of faith. You see, faith will not make sense if we have a wrong perception of who God is. And that's why we need to know more about who God is. That's what this series is all about. Now, last week, Pastor Archie shared about God's glory. If you were here last week, we talked about or we learned that the God we worship is a God who is a mighty God, a God who is able to do the impossible, able to do great things. He created creation and that His glory is seen in creation. When you look at the universe, when you look at the world around you, and it is revealed in man. When you look at ourselves, okay, we are, you know, God's masterpiece. And lastly, it is revealed in what He did in Jesus Christ. When He came down in this world as Jesus, what He did on the cross, those things. That's what we learned last week, the glory of God. This week naman, okay, we're gonna learn about the goodness of God. Okay, tell your seatmate, the goodness of God. Okay, we're gonna learn about God being good. That yes, if last week we learned that we worship a God who is great, who is mighty, who is all-powerful, this week we will come to learn that we don't just worship a great and all-powerful God, but we also worship a God who is good. Not just good na in the sense na kanang ginauna na to nga friend na to nga good, okay? Anyone here seated next to someone na good, okay? Okay, or good-looking siya ba? Okay? Okay, but the God we're talking about here is good, way beyond our concept of good. And that's what we're gonna talk about, okay? Now, if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn to Psalms chapter 34. And I'll be reading from several verses, chapter 34, verses 7 to 10, 15, 17, and 18. It says there, "And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack." Verse 10, "The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Now, what we just read a while ago, Psalm 34, was a psalm written by David during a time probably when he was pretending to be a mad person so that he would escape from being captured by his enemies. And in that psalm, okay, I didn't include the first few verses, but the first few verses, verses 1 to 7 or 1 to 5, it all talks about David praising God, giving thanks to God, because he is a good God. And in verse 8, okay, it says here, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." This verse right here tells us that, you know, the psalm is inviting us to taste and to see that God is good, that we worship a good God. To taste there is an action. It's an invitation to do something, to discover, to experience. The psalms here is inviting us to use all our senses, not just taste physically lang, but to practically experience God, experience his goodness, and discover just how good he is. To see there being, you know, the result, to discover. In other words, the Psalms here is inviting us firsthand to have a firsthand encounter and experience about the goodness of God. It doesn't just settle for telling us that, wait, God is good. But wait, don't just settle for that. Experience it for the first hand. Experience it for yourself. Experience him, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, there are some things that don't need to be experienced for us to learn. It's not necessary that we need to experience everything for us to learn and understand about them. But there are some things that we need to experience firsthand for us to comprehend, for us to fully appreciate, or for us to understand what it is. Say, for example, whenever your friend tells you, "Wait, bro, may bagong restaurant dito sa Dapita. Lamiking pagkaon na, lamiking barbecue na," like this picture right here. Okay, if someone tells you, "Hey, inanin picture, lamik kayo." Even if you see the picture and you know it looks good, it looks delicious, but if you never tasted it, then you wouldn't really understand what your friend is saying. Nakatay na mo lang, ginainan mo sa friend, lamig kayo, tapos pagabot niyo mo, okay lang, okay? So and so ba? Diba, see, when you experience it for the first hand, then you will see what your friend is actually trying to say. Then you'll get to understand or same page mo sa person. There are some things in life that we need to experience. Another experience that I had privilege with na for the longest time, I couldn't really relate or understand experiencing snow for the first time. I have a picture right here of our team, this is Team Mongolia, when we went to Mongolia for a 10-day mission trip. We stayed there for, of course, about 10 days. And during one of the days, we were fortunate na to experience snow. And if you know, if you've seen snow in the movies, in the picture, when you open your refrigerator sa freezer ninyo, diba? We tend to think, amo niyang snow, dagway, amo niyang feeling is the snow. But it was totally different when we were there and then we experienced it for the first hand. We saw the snow fell on us. We actually waited until 12 minutes, mawulog daw ang snow. Okay, when we look around and seeing a white, when we touch it, held it in our hands, it was a different experience. It's totally different from just looking at the picture, okay? Siguro di kayo klaro diya, baka ng white stuff sa background, puro na siya snow. Okay? And there's so many other experiences that we need to fully experience ourselves for us to comprehend, for us to understand that thing. And the same thing with God. There's a spiritual parallel here that Psalms are telling us that God is good
And we need to experience it firsthand for us to confidently, boldly say it. Okay? God is good. And take note, it, the Psalms say na, taste and see that the Lord is good. It doesn't say, taste and see if the Lord is good or if God is good. It says, God is good already. Taste and see it for yourself. In other words, church, whatever you're going through right now, for some of us here today, maybe we're going through a tough time financially, health-wise, our studies, our work, our relationships. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you're carrying with you right now, whatever burden, whatever challenge you're facing, whatever that is that you're going to face tomorrow, pag Monday, right now you're thinking, Lord, how am I going to face tomorrow? Whatever that is, whatever that may be, it does not diminish or negate the fact that God is good. And some of us here need to have that settled in our minds that God is good. Yes, bad things and challenging times, it doesn't mean that it negates the fact that God is bad or God is evil. No, God is always good. And some of us here need to be reminded of that fact. God is good. Can you just tell your seatmate, God is good? Okay, God is good. The Psalm says, taste and see that God is good. Experience it firsthand. If we are here today, and somehow there's a part of us thinking, man, is God really good? Is God really good? Is He really a good guy and all that? Well, experience it firsthand for yourself. We don't have to just wait and just sit on the sidelines, settle for a secondhand opinion, but we can actually encounter His goodness firsthand. And that's what this installment is all about. How do we encounter firsthand the goodness of God? How do we taste and see that God is good? Because God is good. Whenever we think about goodness, okay, usually when you think about goodness or someone who is good, siguro what would pop in our picture is kanang mga typical nga good boy nga picture like this one right here. Siguro na, wala mga nakainapay, nakakwilyo. Whenever you think about someone who is good. But even the most kind person, the most kind-hearted, generous, good person in the world, even if the entire world would have a contest, world's best person, okay? All 7 billion people would have that contest. It cannot compare to the goodness of God. Wayne Grudem, the theologian, said, the goodness of God means that God is the final standard of good and that all that God does is worthy of approval. He is the final standard of good. He is the standard of goodness. Nothing beats Him. And everything that He does is good. And we need to have that settled in our hearts and our minds that, wait, we worship a good God. Not just a powerful, almighty God, but a good God as well. Now, how do we taste and see that the Lord is good? How do we experience His goodness? Three simple things I want to share with all of us here today. The first of which is that we can taste and see the Lord is good when God prospers His people. Okay? God prospers His people. Another way to understand is that God blesses us. Because God being good is not a selfish God. He's not someone who hoards everything to Himself. God being good wants to bless, wants to show His goodness to others. And one way He does that is by blessing people. Psalm 34 verse 8, going back to the Psalm, says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. To take refuge, meaning if you seek God, if you seek His help, find His help, if you run after God, if you take refuge in Him, He'll be faithful to bless us. God is a God who wants to bless, who wants to richly bless us. And the word bless here comes from the Hebrew word esher, which means happiness and joy. In other words, whenever we talk about the blessings of God, we can have joy in our hearts, joy in our lives, because we have a God who wants to bless us. And the word esher naman here is derived from another Hebrew word called ashar. Okay, esher, then ashar. Which means to advance, to go forward, or to make progress. In other words, whenever we think about the blessings that come from God, it means that God's favor or God's blessing leads to our progress, promotion, and advancement. So for all of you here today, you're believing for progress, promotion, breakthroughs. Anyone here, you're believing for breakthroughs this 2017? For those of you who are working, you're believing for promotion. Anyone here, if you want to increase in your rank or sa panitawag na, for the students here, you're believing for increase sa inyong grades. Diba? Ma-advance ang grades ninyo. Hello, students. Or ma-resurrect ang grades ninyo. Maybe for some of you, mula nyo ginapray. Diba? Ma-resurrect from the dead ang grades. Okay? Whatever that may be, okay? God can bless us. Okay? And His blessing causes us to be promoted or to advance. One story in the Bible that shows God's active role in blessing our lives is this story of a person named Joseph. Let me just briefly share to you the story of Joseph. See, Joseph, some of you know this guy. Joseph was a man, or before he grew up to became a highly influential person in the land of Egypt. Before that, when he was young, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Because his brothers suya niya. He was sold into slavery. And while he was a slave towards this person in Potiphar, in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 to 4, we get to see a brief account of what happened when he was a slave in that person. Okay? What did God do in his life? In verse 2, it says here, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. That passage we just read a while ago says that the Lord was with Joseph. Though he was sold into slavery, think about this. If you were Joseph, okay, he was sold into slavery. So, you know, if you talk about status, he didn't have that. He was poor because he was a slave, so he didn't have much money. He was in a tough, or it was probably in the worst situation of his life. He was a slave. And yet, the blessing of God was still there because the Lord was with him. The Lord caused Joseph to be promoted, to rise from the ranks of being a simple slave to being the person who would oversee the entire household, the entire affairs sa master. Nang ginahuna-huna lang sa master niya was actually just the food na lang. Joseph was promoted by his master because his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. In other words, God blessed Joseph immensely. Now, what does this mean for us? For us here today, if you feel like you're not blessed or you're not going to be blessed because you didn't take this particular job or not taking this particular course, you didn't come to this particular family, or you're not from this particular place, Tom, I'm just from this small town or something, whatever your situation is right now, whatever your circumstance is right now, it doesn't negate the fact, or it will not hinder the fact that God can bless you. God can bless us. He was able to bless this slave, Joseph, and make him rise into the overseer of his master's household. If he can do that to the life of one person, he can do it to you, to your seatmate, to your friends. He can do it to all of us. God can bless us because God is good. One way he shows his goodness to us is by blessing us. Tell your seatmate, God can bless you. God can bless us. Secondly, how does God show his goodness to us? God shows his goodness to us, or one way we can taste and see his goodness is when he provides for us. God provides for his people. For all of you here today, for all of us here today, believing for provision, believing that God's gonna come through for whatever big need that might be, good news for us is that God is a God who provides. He's a God who wants to richly provide and bless us. Psalms 34, verse 9 to 10 says there, O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. See, the Psalms here tells us now, if we fear the Lord and seek the Lord, he will provide for us. The fear that we're talking about here does not mean the fear na kanang maglanto ng horror movie or makita ako kamulupad towards nimo. That's not the kind of fear that we're talking about here. The kind of fear that we're talking about is a reverential fear, meaning to have awe or great respect towards someone. It's kind of like when you're meeting face to face with a king, an emperor, or a head of state, that kind of fear. And when it says there, those who seek the Lord, to seek there means to inquire, to run after. In other words, the Psalms here are telling us, if you run to God, if you have deep respect, reverential fear, holy fear towards God, and if you run after him, you inquire, you seek him, when you have trouble, when you have a big need, when you are faced with a difficult situation, he can bless, he can provide for you. God can provide for us. And if you're wondering, okay, Tom, what can give me the assurance that God is able to provide? I mean, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried many solutions. How can I say that God can provide? What's one thing that will encourage me that, you know, God can provide? God is able to provide for my needs. Well, if you were here last week, and when you talked about the glory of God, it can actually tell us that God is more than able to provide for our needs. Last week we learned, talking about the glory of God, that creation screams in testimony to the glory of the Creator. In other words, whenever we talk about the glory of God, He's awesomeness, His awesome or mighty power, Him being an almighty God, when we look to creation, it tells of His ability, of His glory. In other words, one way to know that is that God is able to provide for our needs because He created everything. Think of it this way. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before you and I were born, before your parents were born, before everything else was created, there was God. There was God, and He formed the universe into being by speaking it. Anyone here, you ever spoken something into being? Parang gigutom ka, parang hamburger, hamburger. Mas mo materialize ang hamburger sa tubangan ni mo. Or mag kailangan ka kwarta, 100, 100, 100, 100, Lord. None of us are able to do that, but God, being an almighty God, spoke the universe into being. He created the heavens and the earth. The earth, everything in the earth, the trees, the animals, the plants, the seas, the mountains, He created those things. He created us. He formed us. And so if He's able to do that, we're talking about someone who created the whole universe into being, how much more our needs? How much more those things that we're believing for? If God is able to create out of nothing, everything, then how much more our needs? How much more those things that we're believing for? Cannot God be able to provide for that? Is He not more than able to provide for that? God can provide for us, church. And you know what? If you read your Bibles, throughout the Bible, God has displayed so many times that He's able to provide in the midst of an impossible situation. Even if something seems tough, impossible, na parang hopeless na siya, God can provide. This is a short list lang I've compiled about the things that God did. For example, a son for Abraham. Many of you know the story of Abraham, a guy who was probably in his 90s or 100 na yata to, barren ang wife niya, childless siya, and yet God provided a son for him. How many of you here today, if you were 100 years old, you could still believe na, Lord, mag-anak ko, Lord. And yet, Abraham, amidst all that limitation, physical limitation, age-wise, God was able to provide for him. A flood for Noah, okay? In a time when it was unheard of to have this great flood that would flood the entirety of creation, there was this great flood. God was able to do something incredible. The plagues of Egypt. I believe that all of us here today are familiar with the story of Exodus. You know, the Israelites have been rescued. Diba? Every Holy Week, 10 Commandments. Diba? Ginapakita man sa TV. If you see that those 10 plagues, those terrifying, yes, terrifying plagues, but still, God did those things. He's able to do something that we cannot do. Manna and quail were in the wilderness. When the Israelites were traveling, they were never hungry. They were never in lack because they always had manna and quail. All that they need was provided for by God. A fish and a whale for Jonah. Okay? When Jonah was cast into the sea, okay, because he was thrown overboard, God provided a big fish, or it was a whale ba, that rescued him and took him to the place that God called him to go, to Nineveh. And this one, bread and fish for 5,000 people. Many of you know this, Jesus feeding 5,000 from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. If you do your math, no matter what kind of formula equation you do, it doesn't seem to equate 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. Parang it does not match. It will not balance. Parang how could you possibly feed this 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Even if, you know, uska pinch of bread ginahatag nimo for 5,000, mahurot gyapon na siya. It's just not enough. And yet, Jesus was able to do that. God was able to provide for those 5,000 people. They even had 12 batonga basket full of leftovers from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What big need do you have, church? That seems impossible. That seems too big. God can provide for that. And healing for the sick, for all of us believing for healing. Okay, maybe this prayer and fasting, you're believing for healing, restoration, not just for yourself, but maybe for your family or for a loved one. Believe for brave that, you know, God can heal that sickness. You see, a lot of times we just settle for running after God, seeking God to a last resort. A lot of times, you know, running after God, seeking God, praying to Him, asking Him, believing for provision from Him becomes a last resort or a last option na lang. Have you seen those signs in case of emergency, break glass? Have you ever seen those signs or in the hospitals or something? In case of emergency, if it was God, parang in case of emergency, pray to God. When all else fails, when option A, B, C to Z has been maxed out, then pray to God. Then have the God option. or something, or whatever you call it. But the Psalms tell us that seek first God. And reinforce in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, says here, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, the Bible never tells us na diskartehin mo muna. Try everything that you can, then run to God. The Bible never tells, or God never says, you know what? Do everything muna, then you come to me. It never says that. A lot of times, it's just us, you know, thinking that way, and we need to do everything first before we get to God. But we need to be reminded, church, that going to God, seeking Him, should be our first action step. That before we even do anything, before we discard na ito ang problema na ito, or whatever that we're believing for, we run to Him first. We seek Him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God Himself. And when we do so, He provides for our needs. God provides. Another thing that will encourage us, talking about the provision of God, is that God provides, or is able to provide, or He wants to provide for us because He is our Heavenly Father. It's not in the Psalms, but in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, says here, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? This was Jesus talking to a group of people. Basically, He's saying, if you guys know how to give good gifts to your children, if you guys know how to give good gifts to each other, but we know how to give good gifts to each other, one another, in Christmas, New Year, but we give good gifts to one another. If we know how to do that, if we love to do that to our friends and family, to our loved ones, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more God? Does He not want to give good gifts to us as well? See, we have a Heavenly Father. See, God, whatever your experience was with your fathers, you know, our Heavenly Father is different. God is a God. He's a Heavenly Father who wants to richly bless and provide for His children. Whenever we talk about fathers, you know, fathers being the man of the house, being the leader of the house, you know, how many of you appreciate your dads, mga papa ninyo? But fathers, one of their important roles is to provide. Is to provide for the family, to make sure their family is taken care of. The welfare of their family is okay. If our earthly fathers have that in their minds that I'm going to provide or I'm going to take care of my family, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more is He God? How much more does He not have our best interests being our Heavenly Father? Which leads me to my last point, talking about the goodness of God. Him being our Heavenly Father, we taste and see God's goodness when He protects us. God protects His people. Because He's a good God and He's a good Father. He protects us. He protects us from trouble, from problems. In Psalms 34, it says there in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Parang if you use your imagination, it's like if there was this group of people who feared God, who loved God, the angel of the Lord is there. His presence is there to protect them. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears towards their cry. The Psalms here telling us that God sees and hears what you're going through. For all of us here tonight, we've thought na, Lord, do You know what I'm going through right now? Lord, do You realize what I'm going through? Lord, natutulog ka ba, Lord? Lord, are You deaf, Lord God? Lord, for some of us here, maybe we've had those words, we've spoken those words towards God, we've cried out, we've poured out our frustrations and all that. Lord, do You see? The Bible tells us, His Word tells us that He does see. It says here, His eyes are towards the righteous, His ears towards their cry. God knows, church, what you're going through right now. He knows what's best for you because He sees what you're going through. Verse 17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, and the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. In other words, we worship a God who cares for His people. The God that we worship is not just an all-powerful, amazing God. If He was just that, all the power lang, all the almightiness lang, if kana lang, then He would probably be a terrifying God. But it's not just that. He's also a good God. The kind of good that we can never fully comprehend. I mean, He's way beyond our own limitation of what good is. He's so good. And because He is good, He cares for us. He cares for His people. There's this story in the Bible in Exodus chapter 2, talking about still the Israelites when they were slaves in Egypt. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25 says there, during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. They were slaves, persecuted, oppressed, beaten up, and they cried out for help towards God. You and I might not be physically be slaves right now, but we might feel like we are going through a tough time, persecution, oppression. Guess what? These people were going through something so severe as well. And they cried out to God. They groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning. God heard their pain. God heard what they were going through. God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. We're talking about a God here who hears cries of His people. That should give us a confidence, church. Now, not just for prayer and fasting, but really every time we come to God in His presence, we pray, we believe, we commune with Him, we can have that assurance that He hears our prayers. Now, unlike, you know, when you ever we use a cell phone, have you ever tried na mag-text mo, then makita mong signal dyan, maski one bar, ba't mo yung makita? Nagka-extend ng kamot ninyo, gikapoy na mo, raise a hand ninyo, or kailangan dyan, nakana, sige, kung mag-text mo or mag-reply mo. You know what, kang God, we don't need that. He hears our prayers. We don't need to feel like, you know, our prayers, tama na sa ceiling lang. Parang nagabanda siya, like, uy, tama na siya sa ceiling. God hears our prayers. God hears our cries. He knows what we're going through. He doesn't have an answering machine na parang, sorry, God is not here right now. Please leave a message. Please leave your prayers. I'll get back to you after 10 years or something. No, He sees, He hears what we're going through. God hears our prayers. That's how good our God is. He blesses us. He provides for us. And He prospers us. And to wrap it all up, if we want to talk about the ultimate way God showed His goodness towards us, okay, then we need to look no further than what God did on the cross. You see, when we talk about the goodness of God, so the best example I can share to everyone here, whenever we talk about the goodness of God, it's what God did on the cross. You see, on the cross, His goodness was poured out so much, and it was a kind of goodness that really we didn't deserve. That's why it's called grace. Okay, we didn't deserve this kind, this level of goodness. On the cross, God provided His one and only Son. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." See, because of our sins, there had to be something that had to be done because of our sins. The Bible says now, the wages of sin is death. In other words, our sins cause us to be eternally separated from God, to go to hell, to be separated from Him. That we were to experience punishment because of our sins. And yet, because God loves us, as that verse says, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, for God so loved your seatmate, for God so loved us, He sent His one and only Son. He provided, showed His goodness by providing His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins." And when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, it set us free from the power of our sin. It set us free from the punishment we had to go through for our sins. And that's why we can have this new life. And that's why we are a blessed people. That's why God is so willing to bless us, prosper us. Because we have been freed from the power of our sin. Because we have this new life in Christ. For all of us here today, maybe you thought, you know, blessing, provision that may happen for this person or for the people in the Bible or for this person right here, but not for me. You know what? Don't disqualify yourself. God is more than able to bless you. If you are today, you're following Jesus, you're believing God, you are a Christian, all that. Know this, do not disqualify or think little of yourself. God is more than able to bless you. Don't limit or settle for small things. Believe for big things in God. God wants to bless us. Now before I wrap up now, talking about the goodness of God. Whenever we talk about the goodness of God, it doesn't mean that everything will just fall into place. When I say that God is good, we worship a good God. I'm not saying that everything from this day on forward will never have problems. I'm not saying that we'll have hakuna matata or problem-free ang life nato. In fact, David, one of the guys who wrote the Psalms, He wrote so many times thanking God, declaring how good God is. And in Psalms 34, verse 1 says here, David writing, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Meaning at every turn, at every opportunity he could, he would praise God. But you know what? The thing with David's life is that David didn't live a problem-free life. He had many challenges. He was being hunted down. Anyone here gonna hunt down namo? David, he was being hunted down by his enemies. And yet, even at those moments, he would praise God. What am I saying, church? Life may not always be good, but we will always have a good God. You may face difficulty. Tomorrow, you might have a challenge. Tomorrow, if you're a student, maybe you'll have a surprise exam. But tingala mo, Lord, samani. You might be challenged with your work tomorrow. You might face something. I'm not saying that. But whatever challenges you might face, or whatever you're going through right now, it doesn't mean we don't have a good God. We have a good God. Life may not always be good, but we always have a good God. And we can always take comfort in the fact that whatever challenge, burden, trials we may face, when we look at the cross, we would come to realize that how good our God is, because He did something that we can never outdo. We can never do something good enough that will surpass what God did for us. Whenever we look at the cross, church, whenever you feel doubting that, man, is God really good? Look no further than the cross and see His goodness. On the cross, God poured out His goodness for our benefit. So if you are here today and you're wrestling with God, you're wrestling, Lord, good ka ba? Lord, I have this problem. I have this situation. Fix your eyes on God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what I love about that verse? That it shifts the focus. It shifts the focus of us putting all our energies, all our senses to taste, to experience God firsthand and see His goodness. Rather than dwelling on our challenges, I'm not putting down our challenges, but rather than dwelling, always looking at them, taste and see, fix our eyes on Jesus, fix our eyes on God's goodness. See His goodness and see that He is more than able to bless, provide, and to protect us.